Well, it's good for us again to be gathered together here in the Manse Garden. We've given you a slightly different view this morning. We've got a wee view of Law Hill behind me today. I think we all agree that these are strange times. Strange times where things we would take for granted, we can no longer do. And so, with the lockdown, we've had to adjust our lives accordingly. And from speaking to many of you this week, I know that there has been much decorating going on. There's been much gardening and much baking too, as we've spent this time in lockdown and where we can't get out and about and do the things that we usually are able to do. At this time also, it's been reported that streaming services like Netflix and Amazon Prime and other streaming services too have reported a huge increase of people using their services, perhaps understandably so, because if you can't get out of an evening, what better thing than to sit on the couch and watch a series or a movie or just be entertained in that way. I'm not a great television watcher, but one of the things Anna and I have been watching recently is the series Elementary, which is an American version of Sherlock. I've always loved Sherlock Holmes' adventures. I think since I received some books by Arthur Conan Doyle, some of the Sherlock Holmes adventures one Christmas. As you all know, I'm sure, Sherlock Holmes is a famous detective who solves crimes, and he often sees things that others do not see. Now, one of Sherlock Holmes' famous quotes is, "When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth." When you've eliminated the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be the truth. Now, when we come to the story of the resurrection, sometimes people think that it's just a matter of faith. And of course it is. But it isn't just blind faith. You see, as Lloyd Grossman used to say to David Frost in those old episodes of Through the Keyhole, let's look at the evidence, because there is evidence that Jesus really did rise from the dead. And so I want to go through some of the evidence this morning from our passage in John's Gospel. The first thing I want you to notice is something that you might see as just quite routine when you think about the Easter story, but it is significant. The first thing I want you to notice is that the stone was rolled away. And the stone was a heavy stone. Now, how could it be that the stone was rolled away? Remember, guards had been placed at the entrance of the tomb. How could it be that the stone was rolled away? There are several theories that people have come up with as to why the stone might be rolled away. One is that Jesus did it himself, that he never truly died, that he just fainted in the tomb and he got up and he removed the stone. Now, I want you to think through how likely that is. Remember, Jesus had been lashed before he died and was crucified. How likely is it that Jesus could have moved that stone? There were witnesses at the cross who saw that he truly died. And remember, when Jesus' body was found on the cross to be dead, that his bones were not broken, but a spear was put into his side. And when a spear was put into his side, what came out? Blood and water. It separated. It showed he was dead. He was definitely dead. So that theory that says that Jesus just revived himself and then removed the stone, a heavy stone at that, doesn't really seem to stand up, does it? What about the disciples? Did the disciples move the stone? Well, why would they? They'd been scattered. They were scared. And when you see them in this passage, they're as puzzled as anyone, aren't they? As were the women. It can't have been them either. Why would Mary have gone to the tomb, been really puzzled, really distressed that Jesus' body wasn't there and gone back to the other disciples? It makes no sense if she and some of the other women had removed the stone. That leads us to our second point, the second part of the story and our evidence. You see, the next thing I want you to notice is that the grave clothes were still in the tomb. That's the next thing I want you to notice. Because when Mary sees that the stone has been rolled away, she runs back to the disciples to tell them that news. And two of the disciples, Peter and John, they run to the tomb. Now, this part of the story makes me laugh a wee bit because John is clearly faster than Peter when it comes to running. And John is writing this gospel, and he clearly wants to emphasize he's a much faster runner than Peter is. And so it's noted in this gospel that John reaches the tomb first. He sees the stone that's rolled away, but he doesn't go into the tomb. But Peter, being Peter, and very gung-ho at that, he goes straight into the tomb, doesn't he? He sees the strips of linen there. He sees the cloth that goes around Jesus' head, and it's lying separate from the linen. And he wonders. Then John goes into the tomb. He sees the linen and the headpiece. And we're told in our passage that he believes. He doesn't understand that Jesus has risen from the dead yet, but he believes. He believes that something significant has happened. Now, why do they believe that? Well, the only significant thing worth stealing from the grave would have been the grave clothes. And yet they were still there. They were still there in the tomb, folded up in the tomb. So it can't be the case that the grave robbers had come, removed the stone, and taken the body. Because the only thing they would have been interested in was the grave clothes. And those were the very things that had been left behind. And so you have the stone rolled away as our first piece of evidence. We've got the grave clothes that have been left as our second piece of evidence. What's the third thing? Well, in our passage, we're told that Mary is still weeping at the tomb. She's probably still wondering what has happened to Jesus, what's happened to his body. And as she's weeping outside the tomb, Jesus appears to her. Now, understandably, she thinks to begin with that he's the gardener. I think if you and I had been in her shoes, we would have thought exactly the same thing. You're not expecting that Jesus would just appear. But Jesus appears to Mary. He reveals himself to her. And later on, Jesus would reveal himself to all the disciples, including Thomas, who to begin with had doubts. And we're told in Scripture that there were 500 other people who saw Jesus had risen from the dead. And so I want you to think about their witness. What do we make of their testimony? Do we believe that they were lying? What would they have got out of lying? Remember, they had been so fearful before. And surely it would have come out later if they were all lying together and this had been a great conspiracy. What do you think of this evidence? We have the stone rolled away. We have the grave clothes that have been left. We've seen the witness of Mary Magdalene, of the disciples, of 500 witnesses. And lastly, there's also the witness of the church, isn't there? Because 2,000 years later, we may not be physically in the church building, but together, as we're watching this stream, we are witnesses to the fact that Jesus is risen. 2,000 years later, we still proclaim that Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. And so I simply ask you today, as you look at the evidence, what do you believe? Maybe you think to yourselves this Easter, I don't have much faith. But I want to say to you today, you don't need to have much faith. Even faith as small as a mustard seed will do, just to believe and trust in Jesus and to know eternal life. You see, when you believe, it changes your life. It changes your destination. It changes your motivation as to why you're living your life. Christ is risen. I believe that with all my heart. What about you? As I say, Christ is risen. Do you say in your own heart and in your own mind, He is risen indeed? Can you proclaim that today? Because if He is risen from the grave, that changes everything. It changes our life and changes it for the better. Shall we just join together in prayer? Let's pray. Loving Lord God, we thank you that when it comes to the resurrection, that it is a matter of faith, but it's not a matter of blind faith. Because when we look at the gospel accounts, there is evidence as to whether Jesus is risen. We see the stone rolled away from the tomb. We see the grave clothes which are still in the tomb separate. We hear the witness of Mary Magdalene, the disciples. We hear of 500 others who saw the risen Jesus. And we also know the witness of the church. The church which 2,000 years later still proclaims each Easter Sunday, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Loving Lord God, as we look at the evidence this morning, as we think about it, however improbable it might be, it might even seem impossible to us, but when we look at the evidence, may we understand that Jesus is risen, and that changes our life. So, loving Lord God, watch over us and bless us this day, we pray. For we pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.